so that we may be able to see the realities of the kingdom and to prepare our lives, to prepare ourselves for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that as we join in the fellowship today, the Lord God Almighty will pour His blessings upon our lives in Jesus' name. All right, so before we proceed, we will say a word of prayer. And as the Holy Spirit leads us, we'll consider today's subject, today's message. Of course, a lot of things are happening, but God has not left His own people. He still interfaces with them. He still communicates with them. He still, make His mind known to His people. Let's say a word of prayer. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll thank you for today. We'll bless your name. We'll thank you for making it possible for us to be gathered today. Lord, we are not just here just to gather. We are here to learn in your word, to be able to know your mind, to be able to know how to obey your commandments and follow your laws, obey your will. We want to appreciate you for the gift of life that you've bestowed upon us to be alive today. It is not by our strength, it is not by our power, it is not by our knowledge, it is not by our wisdom. It is by your grace and your strength and your mercy that prevails upon our lives. Lord, we pray. And as we look into your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will interpret your word to us in ways that we will be able to understand and come to the realities of God in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask for grace, we ask for strength to be able to do your will, to be able to obey your commandments in the name of Jesus Christ. As we continue to fellowship together as one, Lord, we pray that your spirit will dwell amidst us and will speak to our heart and lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for anointing stone. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, so we will be looking at God's words today as we fellowship together. The subject before us today is walking in vision. Walking in vision. Now, before I proceed in looking at the text, there are a few passages of scriptures, just a couple that we're looking at today. And before I proceed, I just want to let us understand that God is interested in our lives. And there is a need for us to know that God, as far as we are in the Word, God has a body. And when you look at the book of the prophets, you would discover that the mind of God from time to time, since ages, has been communicated unto men to make them know that He still has interest in the affairs of men. The Bible made us to understand that God so loved the world. He created His own, He created the world, and He wouldn't just leave the world alone because He wants us to be in alignment with Him. And that's why from time to time, He visited His own people through visions. He made His mind known to people through vision. And when you come to this reality, you will discover that we at some point in time has been communicated. The word of God has come to us. Maybe when we were in high school, maybe when we were on campus, the God always communicate His mind and His will to His people because He will never do a thing without first making it known to His people. Now, there are two sides to this. When God made His intention known to His people, just like He made His intention known to His prophets, He made his intention known to Isaiah, to Habakkuk, to Nahum, to, you know, Zephaniah, to, you know, the book of the prophets. He has a burden, right? And he cannot just leave us alone, because there are things trapped in the realities of men, in the physical, that we are not aware of. There are things trapped in the spiritual that men are not aware of. Probably there's a danger coming. Probably there is a particular disease that is about to invade the world, right? God communicates it to his people through his own prophets. So I remember before the COVID-19, a man of God, a very renowned man of God, said he had a vision, and God told him that the world would be on holiday, and he did not understand, and that's where I'm coming from. He did not understand what it means for the world to go on holiday. I mean, it's easier for God to say the world will go on holiday. But of course, if you don't press forward, that comes as a vision. Now, when this thing came to him, it came probably for a few minutes, and then the vision left. That is God having a body to warn us of what is coming. It's possible for you to know what is coming or why the world will go on holiday if you press forward. That's one thing about God. If you press forward, he will reveal to you the meaning of what he is trying to tell you. You know, when this vision left, and he was wondering, the world will go on holiday. What does this mean? That is to show you that one thing is, God has a burden, and when that burden is revealed to men, he needs men to stand in the gap. We're going to look at the book of Habakkuk, because all the realities of visions are trapped in the book of Habakkuk, for us to understand that visions are not just a communication that men receive from God. They are deep things of the spirit that communicates the burden of God. When God have a burden, if you have a burden as a parent, right? Probably you have a child, and the child is not quite doing well in some of its subjects at school, maybe in English or in maths, or maybe he's not even doing well at all in any of those, you know, he's not mixing up, right? It's a burden to you. Now, if you hold on to this burden and you don't do something about it, part of what you do as a parent is to ensure that you, some will say, I want to find a home tutor to come and, you know, teach my child maths, English, and some other subjects like that. Some will say, well, let's just enroll the child in. It's a burden. The reason why you are engaging people is because you want that problem to be solved. And that's the same thing with God. He has a burden from time to time, right? And then he communicates it to his prophets. Now, there are so many passages of scriptures that visions and revelation are mentioned, basically, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But we'll look at a particular passage of scripture that captured the realities of visions and how it should be handled. As a reason for the subject of today, walking in vision. How can we walk in the visions of God? Now, it's possible for you to have a burden and not communicate it, but that thing will linger if you don't find a way of expressing it, of finding a light that would help lift the burden away from you. And that is how God relates with us. That is how God relates, works in the affairs of men. Now, we'll look at the book of, let's just look at the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2. Now, we need to understand that part of the goal of God is to ensure that man comes back to him. Okay, right from, you know, the Garden of Eden, which is a program God designed, right, to make sure that he interfaces with us. So the Garden of Eden was a program, right? But that program, the devil came and, you know, scattered the program by, you know, luring the woman to, you know, temptations going on in the garden and all that, and men fell. And then the program actually was I won't say it's a total failure, but was a failure actually, because man fell in the Garden of Eden by eating the fruit God actually wanted them not to eat. So that program failed. Ever since then, God has determined that he's not going to leave us alone. He's just going to make sure that, you know, he reconciled us back to himself. And that's the purpose of sending Jesus Christ into the world. So the communication of God to men is through vision. Right from ages, the time of Abraham, Moses, you know, the prophets, God always communicates to men through vision. And we'll look at the reality of Habakkuk here. Now, it says in chapter 2 that I will stand upon my watch. Now, the word watch was derived from, if you are conversant with the way the Roman Empire works, and those who stand in guard at the tower to keep a watch. So the kind of trait shift, basically, the soldier's trait shift to keep a watch, to be able to see if the enemy is coming. Okay, this has been done on land, it's been done on sea, to see if there is an issue, or there is an enemy coming. So they keep a watch. It could be maybe every 6 hours, someone will leave the place, another person will stand the watch and all that. So the reality of the watch, this same watch being kept, is that God wants men to stand in the gap, so that at any point in time, when he has a budding in him, he will be able to communicate it. He will find there is a way he wants to communicate with us. But if we are not standing in gap, you see something, maybe an accident happened, and someone say, so none of us could see this thing that is coming. Right? It could be in a church, it could be in a company. Maybe the company was set on fire and all that, and you know, it shows that the watchmen were sleeping. The people that are supposed to stand the watch, they were sleeping. So Habakkuk is saying that I will stand upon my watch. He sees himself as a watchman. What watchmen do is to ensure that they are from time to time in commune with God, so that when God has a message, what it does is to reveal it to his prophets, it's to reveal it to his own people, right? Before the realities of those things. Just like the example of the man of God I told you about, that he just noticed that the world was on holiday, and that was when the COVID-19 actually broke out and all that. So, but of course, there is a need for us to press forward to know what God is trying to communicate. If we press forward, God can, in his mercy, reveals to us the meaning. And that's how, you know, the God we serve is a powerful God. He's the only one that can reveal a thing to a man and lock the meaning. And there's nothing you can do about it. It can show you something and lock the meaning. The meaning of that reality, it will lock it. So you have to keep asking, you have to keep praying, you have to keep begging. And before it begins to tell you the meaning, it's possible for God to say there's an holiday. But you don't know what is an holiday. You don't know if it's an holiday, whether it's an holiday for you to travel to Europe, or for the church to close down due to a particular emergency in the country, or you don't know what kind of holiday that is, right? So it says here in Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 1, It says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write the vision. Now, there are so many of us, we're talking about walking in vision. There are so many of us that, you know, there are things God revealed to us, you know, maybe 15 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. It could be even when we were in primary school, we can still remember as far as when we were, you know, primary school, high school, and all that. And those things, you know, they some of them, maybe some people have even forgotten that God revealed this to me. And they say, oh, well, just to realize it and all that. And maybe right now, those things are coming into reality, right? Now, it's saying that for you to be able to walk perfectly in God's vision, you need to pen it down. Because the human memory can easily forget things. Can easily let things slip. And when man comes into his own reality and is facing challenges and is, you know, going through things, it's possible for you to doubt that, but why are these things? These things are not, whereas those things were communicated to you in the past. But because there is no penning down, you didn't write it. There's something about writing. That's why no matter how digitalized the world is, we can't do away with paper. That's the truth. You can't, we can't do it with paper, physical paper. You can't, no matter how, either AI or whatever, that paper is, it has been since ages. So no matter the level of technology that is coming, you can't do it without paper. Even if the bank says, we want to go electronically, we want to start sending you your invoice electronically, it's good. But that paper, you know, I work in customer service and you have old folks that are 70 years old. Even some, you know, some younger generations will tell you that I want my physical bill. I want you to send me my invoice. When I make my payment for my bill, I want the physical bill. Because why? Physical things don't lie. If you see it, that's just the way it is. So, it's saying there, write the vision. Now, when you see someone who has written, the documentation of the Bible started with paper, right? Before we started having an electronic Bible and all that. Now, if those things were not documented, maybe some things would have been forgotten. Right now, maybe some things would have, some passages of scriptures that are so important, you know, for us in this to be able to, you know, contend with the realities of now, maybe we won't be able to. So that's the reality of things. So we have to write it down, write the vision, make it plain upon, let it be legible for reading. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. So when you write a vision down, and maybe 10 years ago and all that, you can refer back, you can go back to it and then say, okay, this is it. Okay, this was what God told me. How many of those things that God told us in the past have come into realities? You know, and I've seen some people say, I can tell you categorically 7 things that God told me 10 years ago that is manifesting now. I can tell you that. And that's the essence of walking. There are so many passages of scriptures that talks about vision. But this same Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 2 captures the reality of how to walk in the vision of God. Now, we'll look at some other passage of scripture as an example, but what do I want to bring out here? Now, for God to be able to communicate his mind to his people, he needs men, okay? First, the vision of God is a message. Someone slept, and then he discovered that, maybe something happened, and then something was taken forcefully away from him, and then he woke up. And that thing happened for like maybe 3 minutes or something. It's a vision, right? And he woke up. He woke up to his reality and he's like, okay, what can I do? Then he begins to press.
If that's the place of watching, it begins to press, 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 it begins to press. Now, if you, once you are pressing, that's the mistake a lot of people make today, right? When a vision is communicated, the meaning of that vision may not be known to you, but if you keep pressing, God in his mercy can, if, that is if, he wants you to know about it, he can reveal that thing to you. Now, we'll look at the book of Acts before we proceed here. The book of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. We are going to look at another passage of scripture that actually talks about the vision of God. Now, the book of Acts chapter 10 in verse 10. Now, it was talking about Peter here. So, before Cornelius actually sent men to Peter to, you know, to invite him over so that he can hear the message of God and what God has to say to him. So, verse 8. And when he had declared all this, okay, let's back up a bit to verse 5. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. A lodge with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of the household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it had been a great sheet on the four corners and let down onto the earth. Now, this is a particular incident, right? This is another example of a trance. Those are reality captured in the physical, within a space, within time, is trapped into time. Now, when visions are revealed to us, first, God needs, it's a message from God, it's a burden from God. Secondly, there is a messenger needed to communicate the vision. There is a messenger needed to communicate this vision. Now, for this vision to be communicated now, there are things I would say that God has revealed to me, and sometimes you need the wisdom of God to communicate spiritual knowledge to people, right? You don't just wake up and say this. No, some people will just take offense. Some people will tell you thank you. Some people will say okay. Some people will say okay, I'll pray about it. Some people will say, why did you? No, that is not for me. So you can, even if you are not careful, that could cause a rift and an issue. But you know, between you and the person you are trying to communicate to. No, so now a vision is a spiritual knowledge communicated to men from God. God has a burden, and that burden, he wants to communicate it, and that burden being communicated is a message. And there is no burden that is communicated by God to men without men being able, having the capacity to be able to receive that vision. It's possible for God to reveal something to you, but what are you supposed to do with that thing God revealed to you? What are you supposed to do with that thing that is communicated to you? When the word of the Lord came to Jonah, to the land of Nineveh, in the land of, you know, that when God wanted to send him to the people of Nineveh, to tell them the realities of things that are to happen and all that. And, you know, he needed to engage Jonah in such a way that you will know of a surety that this is God speaking to me. When you see somebody who has a vision, who God revealed things to, you will know that this one is not something that you knew yesterday. No, it's a knowledge. It's a knowledge that God communicates to men. First is a burden of God, and secondly is a message that God has to give to men, which comes as a warning to them. Now, it is something that is written. It's already written that this thing is going to happen. There are things that are written that is going to happen in the world. There are things that is written that is going to happen to us as individuals. There are things that is going to happen in our family that is already written. But there's a warning that comes ahead. There is always a warning that comes ahead. If care is not taken, if those warning comes and you don't stand in the gap, you don't see yourself as a watchman, those things will come into reality and there's nothing you can do to stop it. God will not do a thing without first revealing it to his prophet. It could be the plan of the enemy. It could be something that is, you know, that is about to take place in our lives. I was listening to a particular preacher, and he was saying that when he was praying, he saw a particular man sitting in the Senate. And then when the person sat in the Senate, another person came and took over his seat. And then the vision left him. When the vision left him, he was, because he knows this person. Now this person is, you know, this person is someone that I can say that, you know, he is spiritually inclined and all that, and is securing the right standing with God. So he went to him. He told him, he said, see, this is what I saw. Before he went to him, he already prayed. And then he prayed, and God told him that there is a plan by the devil to remove him from his current state as a Christian, as somebody who is standing in the faith. When he communicated this spiritual knowledge to him, the person said, I just finished a 70 days fasting and prayer, you know, the whole congregation, everybody. That is why sometimes when spiritual knowledge are communicated, you know, the best thing to, don't even argue, just say thank you. I will pray to God about it. Thank you for letting me know. Thank you. And all. That's, don't be fighting. Don't say, what do you mean? I've been fighting. No, that's not, just say thank you to the person and move on. There's no argument. And then pray to God about it. And that's it. That's all. What God wants to do, what God wants you to do is to pray about it and move on. It's not the time to say, what do you mean? I fast 2 days a week. No, there's no argument about this thing. Just pray about it and move on. So when this person communicated the spiritual knowledge, the so-called man of God, you know, took the word, trivialized the words of this young minister, and then, you know, and all that. This same person slipped into heresy. I think it was a couple of years after that, he slipped into heresy. Communicated things that you can't see it in the Bible. Communicating it to his members. Slipped into heresy, his place was taken away and given to someone else. So that is the realities of things that God wants to bring to our knowledge. There are realities trapped in the spiritual that God wants to communicate to us. And he can only communicate to us through his message and through his messenger. Anybody can be a messenger of God. It does not really matter if you have international ministry or you are the, God can use any, in fact, God can use your son to communicate knowledge to you. He can use anybody. And one will be foolish enough to trivialize the words of your son or your daughter. Maybe the person slept and he said, I had, you know, just like Pilate's wife, He said, I have nothing to do with that man. I have not, because I've suffered so many things in the night because of him. So please, whatever judgment you pass, make sure it's not hanging on your head. That's a spiritual knowledge. That's a spiritual knowledge. That is a vision. I have nothing to do with that man because he's innocent. No matter what judgment you pass, make sure that nothing is hanging on you. So God used the wife to communicate to Pilate that, please, whatever you do, don't. And so many things like that have been communicated to us. If you read the book of Isaiah, you read the book of Ezekiel, these are burdens from God being released to people. And if you look at as well, when Ananias was sent to Paul the apostle, who was a persecutor of the church and all that, when that vision came to him that there is a street called the street, go there, look for one named Saul of Tarsus, and then do this, do that, and all that. There was an instruction that came, not just a message, an instruction. So a vision is an instruction for you to communicate, to pray about something, then communicate it. It's always a message. It's always a message. How to communicate that message, you need to pray to know how to communicate that message. There are some messages that, of course, when you pray, there are no answers. There are no answers. But it's not as if God is not listening. God is listening. But it's just the way the message is. That's how you are supposed to communicate it. There was one of our friends that had issues and then I had to, because it was a burden, right, on us, and I had to pray that God, this situation, what is really going on here? Please, can you just... It took 6 months for me to know the meaning of God, what God was saying. I know there was a problem. And I told the person, this is the problem, this and this and this, 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 this and this. But I can't really lay hands on what exactly is going on. It took 6 months after that time for me to know. And when I got that message, I told the person, this is what you must do. For this problem to be solved, you must do this. So my own job has finished. I've communicated it. It's now left for the person to execute. So maybe God has something that he has placed in our mind, or something that he has revealed to us in the past. What are we doing about it? Can we refer back 3 years ago, 10 years ago, can we reflect on those things God has communicated to us by vision, by maybe someone met us on the road and say this and this and this. And you can really tell, you can really be the scripture, you can tell that this is how God speaks to people. Because if anybody comes to you and tell you something, it's good to, judge by the standard of the Bible. Right? Are these things found in the scriptures? Is this how God speaks to men? If truly that is how God speaks to men, what are you doing about it? Are you standing the watch? Or did you just trivialize it and all? In fact, the earlier you start, the better. The earlier you start, the better. If God reveals something to you about someone, it's good for you. Even if you don't know the meaning at that point in time, stand in the gap and be praying about it. Be praying about it. Be praying about it. Be praying about it. There are some things. In fact, there was a particular person God told me to be praying for. Every time I'm praying, I have to mention the name of this person in prayer. That's a burden for God. It's not... This is not something by God told me. I heard him. He spoke to my ears that pray for this person. Pray for this person. Pray for this person. And since then, I've been praying. Pray. Till today, I'm still praying. Anytime I'm praying. I always pray. Anytime I'm standing in the gap, always pray. Always. I don't know the. I've not even seen this person before, but he told me the person's name, the first name and the last name, and I keep praying. I keep praying. I've not met the person in my life. I've not even seen the person face to face. But that is God's burden. He wants me to do something for him. That's it. You know. So that's the reality. God is a spirit, right? So you will notice that when he speaks to men and he wants you to do something, if you don't do that thing, he will leave you alone and then move that burden to somewhere else. And it will be foolish for one not to follow the leading of God. It will be very, very, very foolish. Because what God wants to do is to make you understand his burden. Now, if somebody says, I want you to understand my burden. This boy does not know mathematics. What can we do? Okay, this and this are the options. Then you begin to explore those options. Okay, let's try after school lessons. Okay, let's try to bring in another teacher. Let's, you know, you begin to, that's how to solve the problem. Not that when a vision is communicated and you're not looking, you don't even know. You don't even know how to. You engage. God, this thing, it has to be done. It has to be done. It has to be done. Because that's the reason why we live. That is the reason why we live. So, the vision of God comes to men, and it's important for us, when those vision comes, you write it down. And you have to wait. That waiting is in a place of prayer, meditation, and trusting God that those realities will come to pass. I want to believe that God has spoken to us today, and you know, there are so many things that are being revealed to us by God that we trivialize today. We don't see them as being important, as things that are, you know, we focus more on the non-essentials and then focus a little on the things that are most important. I was telling someone the other day, I said, see, when I wake up and I dress like going to work, it's the same way you have to do the things of God. It's the same way. The same, in fact, God's work itself have to be superior than your daily activities. It has to. Because the visions of God are not just vision. They are things, they are realities that is trapped in the realm of God. And God wants to make that thing come into reality in the affairs of men. In the affairs of men. So when God communicates his mind to us, our job is to walk in it, is to make sure that God is pleased with our responses to how we attend to him. If God is not pleased with our responses, there is danger coming. There is huge danger coming. And that's the reason why in the realm of God, it's all about sacrifice. All these prophets that, you know, we read about today, Moses, Abraham, you know, even the likes of Babalola, Caitlin Kuma, and the likes, God, in fact, there are burdens that God has given to them that somebody will be asking them, wait, are you the only Christian in the world? Or I don't understand what is going on here. Why is it that your own is different? You're always, you know, and it's a burden. It's a burden. When you have a burden, people will call you names. They will even say, look at you, you don't even know what you are doing. You are a Jew. They will give you names. It's still not the burden of God, but it's important for us. In fact, I'd rather become foolish to do what God wants than to be wise in the mind, in the face of men. Because the things of God are profitable. A carnal man does not understand the things of the, because they are foolishness to him. He does not know them. He does not know how to discern it, right? And that's the reason why they are always foolishness to him. So it is important for us to walk in the vision of God. Whatsoever God has told us 10 years ago, 5 years ago, what are we doing about it? Is it written somewhere? Can we refer to it? Can we say, okay, this was God, what God told me a few years ago, and this is where I am today. This thing has not come into reality, but I'm seeing traces of it and all that. Where I am today, the country I am today, was revealed to me when I left secondary school. Immediately I left secondary school, that was when I saw myself in this country where I am. The country, the city, I saw myself in the country. There are things that God, in fact, there are things that God reveals to us that will not be asking how that thing will come into reality. Is you do none of your business. You just make sure you align yourself with God. Amidst all those alignment, there will be things, issues that will come, you know, things that will come, and you know, a lot of things will come at us, and you know, we'll be doubting, is this thing even true? Is this thing even true? You know, I was talking with my mom the other day, and you know, she's still appalled. You know, let me say that she's still in doubt of the realities of what is happening in my life right now. She's still in doubt, like, how are these things? I don't, because I can categorically tell you, in my primary school, I know nothing. In my secondary school, zero. When you look at me, this one, there is no future here. That's the thing, there is no future here. But I don't know what God revealed to her years ago and all that. But then, you know, the real things will, don't be, you, your job is to trust God. That's your job. That's why we're in this world, is to trust God. That's why we are here. We are not here to be doubting, how can these things be? How can these things be? How can this thing? Your job is to trust God and to follow. So whenever an instruction comes, just execute. Whenever an instruction comes, execute. That is how to walk in the visions of God. Some, the life they are living now, is opposite the visions of God in their life. What if the encounter they had from God in the 10 years ago is totally up. They know the vision, but they decide to go another way. Such people will be taken away. And we don't want to be taken away. That's the reason why we need to align ourselves in the ways of God. Such people will be taken away. They will be taken away. And what God had in mind to do with them, God can assign it to someone else. He can assign it to someone else. And that's the thing that happened to Judas then, the one that betrayed Jesus. Taken away. He was taken away. His responsibility was given to someone else. But of course, his office is still there, but he was taken away. So we don't want to be taken away by the visions of God. We want to align ourselves with the visions of God, because that's our reality on earth. That is our reality on earth. If you see a man pursuing God, you know, reading the Bible, praying, studying the word of God, doing all those things, building capacity to believe God, such a person will be foolish in the eyes of men. The things of God won't come to you ordinarily. You have to be ready to pursue it. These men, these same prophets, you know, Abraham, you know, Bible story is sweet. When you read about the life of Abraham, you read about the life of David, Joseph, you know, all these people, it's sweet when you read, this one, he ran away. Somebody wanted to put him in trouble. This one, he was chased away from the, you know, the Pharaoh's house. He was, you know, he's sweet. But you don't know that those men, they have suffered. They have suffered. They've gone through wilderness, caves, places that you cannot even imagine somebody will sleep. They've gone through things. Then you begin to read about them, then it becomes sweet. It becomes sweet. But what they have, the Bible won't say that this person slept outside in the snow. This person slept outside in the cold. This person slept out. You can't, those things. So the things of God, they are not always convenient. But I tell you, they are the best that can happen to you. It's a privilege to be able to walk in the visions of God. So, whatever God has told us years ago, write it down. Write, if you are still remembering it, just go and get a pen and write it down. 2007, 2006, 2002, 2000. Just go and write it down, because that's your ticket. That is your, in fact, that's your meal ticket. The one that you are doing right now, the daily activity work, that one is a job. What we are talking about is walking in the vision of God, because that is your reality. Because at the end of the world, what will be recorded will not be our daily work, our daily 8 to 5, 7. That's not what will be recorded. Is the vision that God revealed to us, and how we are able to prosecute those visions. And I pray that God will help us to be able to walk in his vision. And I want us to go through the account of Habakkuk chapter 2 in verse 1 to 3. Write the vision, make it plain upon tables, let it be legible for reading, that he may run that readeth it. So don't let us argue with God. Don't let us say, this thing is hard. This will make some people will not be, no, a lot of people, I won't have friends now. If I continue like this, I will not have friends. If I continue like this, my life now, they will be calling me names. I will not associate. It's better for you not to associate and enter the kingdom of God than for you to associate and be lost in eternity. It's better for you not to associate. Yeah, you see, it's better for you not to associate than for you to be lost in eternity. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. We're going to close our eyes as we pray together. Let us pray that, let's close our eyes and pray and ask God to help us to walk in his vision. The visions of God, they are the realities of God that he has shown to us, to those that he loves, to those that he wants to use, to those that he wants to communicate his mind to, so that he can prosecute his will on earth, so that they can serve his purpose on earth. Let us pray that God will help us to walk in his vision, to walk in his vision, to walk in this consciousness of God's vision. Let's ask for grace, that God give us the grace, give me the grace to walk in your vision. Now, when you are praying this prayer, pray with the mindset that you truly want to walk in the visions of God. If you are not ready to walk in the visions of God, it's fine. Just continue your daily walk. Just continue your, there's no need. Don't even focus on it. But if you truly want to, you know, be used of God, pray this prayer that God will help me to walk in your vision. The grace I need to walk in your vision, grant unto me in Jesus' name. Give me the grace. Give me the strength. I tell you, the visions of God, they are not always convenient. But at the end goal, you will be more happier than your reality right now. Let's pray that, oh God, help me to walk in your vision. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our righteous God in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord, for your word that has come to us today. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes to see your realities.
Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our heart and life. Lord, I pray that as many that are determined, that have determined to walk in your vision, Lord, I pray, O God, that you give them the grace and the strength to be able to pursue and to walk in your vision in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask for strength. I ask for grace. I ask for your power to come upon as many that have decided to walk in your vision in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking, oh God, that your presence, oh Lord, will abide with us and you will lead us and guide us on the right path to walk, even in your vision, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for I know it is done. In Jesus' precious name, we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to appreciate us for attending this session of Family Essence. Of course, the Bold Christian Ministry is the vision is actually for us to be able to communicate the love of God to people and the hope of eternal life to as many that are willing and ready to accept Christ. And I want to believe that as we fellowship together next time, the Lord God Almighty will bless our lives in Jesus' name. Let's continue to walk in God's vision. Let's continue to embrace the things of God, because that is our reality on earth. That is our reality, and that's our ticket to making heaven at the end. If you like, you can communicate this message as well to as many that wants to be part of the fellowship. What we do is basically to share the word. That's it. Share the word. That's it. Share the word. That's it. We are not under obligation to attend fellowship. This is the end time. So encouraging people and say, come to fellowship. No. That's, everybody will give his own account. So you just do what God has placed in your heart to do. And that is exactly how God wants us to live. So we'll meet again next time. If you need any information, of course, you can go to our website, theboldchristianministry.org. And if you want to communicate with us, you can always reach us via email, info@theboldchristianministry.org. I pray that God will bless our lives till we meet again next time. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye. Bye.